Today on Real Radio.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Because we have to fight against a host of spiritual wickedness that human effort cannot make a dent in. Ladies and gentlemen, if a nuclear bomb went off here today, what would die? Who would die?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We are, in fact, in a mini-series that focuses on the first six verses of chapter 10. It's one of the times where Paul uses military analogies to illustrate to the reader that the true believer is really engaged in warfare. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing with his multi-part series called SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics.
What's implied here is this: a person who is not doing it rightly has been suited up for battle and is heading off to war. Now, those poor girls and guys, is it 70 pounds? Is that the latest weight of the backpack? I think it's 70 pounds. I hope it's not any more than that. But can you imagine lugging 70 pounds on your back 24/7, up mountains, through rivers, through deserts, 137-degree weather? That's tough enough. But this verse implies that a Christian who is in the war already, suited for battle in his armor, goes out to battle, and he's got the kitchen sink, he's got a toolbox, he's got his car, he's got his, are you with me? He's pulling everything behind him in a trailer. When we deploy our special forces, before they go on mission, they have a meeting, very personal meeting. And what's required of the special forces guys, they're questioned about it. Is your family in order? Do you have your will made out? They get rid of the business. Is your will made out? Is your family in order? Do your children know you love them? Are you being faithful to your wife? Is your conscience clear? Is everything good? Are you all right? Is your home life good? They talk a lot about home life. Isn't that interesting? Before they go to battle. Why? So their hearts are free, so they're not entangled and encumbered by the affairs of this life. Christian, that's a word to us that we need to prioritize what's going on in our world. That we need to be careful that we're not spending too much energy on things that don't are little matter. And as the world increases more crazy, we need to be stronger than ever. Please get ready. I beg of you, please get ready. But greater is he, the Bible says in 1 John 4:4, that is the Holy Spirit of God, greater is he that is in you than he, that is a reference to the demonic powers of this world, than he that is in this world. We are to take the word of God and apply the wonderful promises of God. And then this is a great one, verse 4. We battle, listen to this, we battle from the victory. So he says, we do not war according to the flesh, that's obvious. But look, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Three words I hope they don't bore you. This is technical, but it's liberating. The Bible says, you, Christian, in this world, you're battling, though you're in your humanity, the flesh, this flesh, we've submitted to the authority of Christ. So being born again, we fight the demonic powers of this world and of the spirit world in our new nature. Our born-again man, Jesus said. But what if we lose? You can't. But what if I fail? He will bear you up. But what if I have a meltdown? Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he will not forsake you. He will not leave you. Well, what if I lose all my money? What if I lose all my health? What if I lose all my family? What if the world comes down? Listen, we came into the world naked, and we leave naked. Blessed be the name of God. Jesus said, behold, I am with you all the way to the end of the world. He'll never stop being with you, ever. And listen, many of us know this is true. When it's the darkest, most painful hour, our Jesus comes through. He will never abandon you. When all else fails, how is it? Think about it. How is it when the world seems to be crashing in on people? They come to Christ. Their soul may wander from place to place, and they may try this spiritual attempt or this thing about that or the other thing, but they wind up settling upon the promises of God. Why? Because Jesus said, all the promises, the Bible tells us about Jesus, all the promises of God are yes and amen. The word means in Hebrew, amen is the word true, are yes and true in Christ. And here the Bible says that you and I, the weapons that we have in this warfare are in God. The word weapons here is that famous Greek word hoplites or hoplon, from where we get the meaning hoplite. If you studied ancient world history, there are warriors called hoplites in the Grecian Empire. The Greek citizen soldier was a hoplite. And listen, the hoplon were the offensive weapons of war designed for his advancement. The hoplon, what he used, the hoplite used the hoplon for what? For advancement. And why does the Bible tell us that we're to use these implements of war as we'll go through them together spiritually speaking? Because, listen, the Greek soldier, which, of course, first century church age, the Bible is written in Koine Greek in the New Testament. The whole understanding was the Greek Empire, those soldiers believed. By the way, listen, any of you who have been in combat, listen to this. The soldiers of the Grecian Empire, and of, for that matter, the Roman Empire, of course, they believed so much in the cause, and in their case, Caesar and the Empire, or Alexander the Great before that, they believed that even if they died, they would be victorious. You say, well, what kind of a victor is that? The guy's dead. I agree with you. Now, it's a great way to send people into battle. George Patton put it this way. Gentlemen, tomorrow we're all going to be dead. So get ready for battle and just consider yourself already dead. You say, well, that's weird. Not exactly. If you're dead, you have nothing to fear. And they went into battle. The hoplon or the hoplite went into battle thinking, no matter what happens to me, the kingdom advances. And the apostle plays off of that ancient world truth. Go forward in this battle like a hoplite of the empire. Because no matter what happens to you, the kingdom's going to advance. And, oh, by the way, remember the words of our Lord Jesus, who said, though a man die believing in me, yet shall he live. That's, oh, I'll see you guys later. That's enough. I mean, think of that. The believer dies and never dies because the believer dies in this world and wakes up in the next in the everlasting arms of God. How awesome is that? We fight from victory. The war has been settled. Jesus did that at the cross. Jesus said the enemy was defeated. That's the word weapons. The next word is warfare. And the word warfare means this, a protracted military campaign. It's not a battle, it's a warfare. A long-term military operation, a campaign, listen, that could go on until the end. And isn't that not the truth? We're at war until the end. And then the word is mighty. The word mighty here means powerful enough, capable enough, able enough, strong enough. So can I read it again? Look at verse 4. For the weapons, these advancing weapons that are designed for a long-term warfare campaign until the very end are more powerful enough to achieve the goal. Period. Mark your Bibles or turn there if you'd like. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Paul writes to the Ephesian elders, old Paul now, elderly Paul, won't be long until he is killed in Rome. By the way, Paul was killed in Rome for being a Christian. Isn't that interesting? Verse 10, finally, my brethren, everybody looking, everybody watching, be strong. Interesting. Now it sounds like Joshua chapter 1. God tells Joshua, be strong. Christian, just meditate on this. Do you need to be strong? Do you need strength? I need strength. I need a lot of strength. Do you need a lot of strength? The more you're involved in what God wants to do, the more strength you're going to need. And the more strength you realize you need, the weaker you understand who you are. And the greater the glory is to God. I think the sweeter heaven's going to be, for me anyway. When God says, oh, losers over here, I'm going to run over to that part. No, he's not going to say that, but I'll be willing to run to that part. Be strong in the Lord. And in the power, whose power? His power. The power of his might, verse 11. Put on. By the way, this is a military term. Paul is ordering the Christian, put on what? Your whole armor, the armor of God. So what is that? God's promises. Church, listen. God's promises. Isn't it interesting? One of the first things we do with our kids is we teach them to memorize verses. Those little kids are putting on armor. Okay? Watch this. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able, not disabled, able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That would be easy. But against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in or based in the heavenly realms. Christian, did you just hear that? In the book, I highly recommend it. Either buy the whole volume or the multi-edition versions of it in volumes. It's called The Christian in Complete Armor. It's one of the greatest reads that a Christian could ever embark upon. What Pilgrim's Progress is to the Christian believer, The Christian in Complete Armor is to the Christian soldier. It's by William Grinnell, and here's one of the things William Grinnell says in his great book. Note the sharpness of this mortal combat. It is the kind of combat which the Christian's state is here set out by. Here is the phrase. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. It tells us that our warring is of a wholly different sort than that wars fought in this world. The battles of this world employ implements of war that can be seen and heard. The spiritual war of the Christian is a war against a world that is evil, dark, a world at war with God, and the powers behind our enemy have nothing else to do but to scheme and to attack. Think of it. Christian, how often do we think of what we're really badly? Now listen, I'm going to have the guys cue up a video clip for a moment, but I have to give you this announcement in advance. That's what I warned about you last week and we never got to. So if you have any young eyes, you might want to cover their eyes. Why? It's from a Christian book that Hollywood picked up and ran with. The thing that we're going to show you, why it's so amazing, is because Hollywood finally almost got it right. And why do you say finally almost got it right? Because what you're going to see is not bad enough. Did you hear me, everyone? What you're going to see is not scary enough. What you're going to see is not ugly enough. It's only what Hollywood can do with rubber and computer graphics. But as you look at this in a moment, I want you to see the minions of hell. From the author who wrote the book, Lord of the Rings, a tremendous Christian man, J.R.R. Tolkien. J.R.R. Tolkien saw the powers behind the First World War being as puppets of the spiritual realm, and he wrote a book called Lord of the Rings. So turn your eyes away if you can't handle this, but let's dim the lights to make it worse. So Tolkien views demonic powers behind things based on the Bible. The Bible announces that behind the physical world are spiritual powers. I want you to think for a moment. We're going to end with this because it's a good place to end. Paul the Apostle, in the writing of 2 Corinthians, was being attacked by the Judaizers because they said, you can be victorious in the flesh. Just mix your flesh effort with Jesus and you'll be okay. Listen, this is what got people riled up last week. All of you, can you all hear me? This is your homework today. I want you to read Galatians chapter 3 in your Bible. If you want to have extra credit, read the book of Galatians. It'll take you 30 minutes. But please hear me out. If Tolkien was trying to get you and I to see that we're battling spiritual wickedness, and if the apostle on the shores in Asia Minor spoke to the Ephesian elders there near today, Turkey, and he said, listen to me. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Because we have to fight against a host of spiritual wickedness that human effort cannot make a dent in. Ladies and gentlemen, if a nuclear bomb went off here today, what would die? Who would die? Come on. We would all would die. What would die? Thank you. Your body. Can you hear me? You, who you are, what you sing, the poems you write, the passions you feel, the dreams you have nothing to do with your body. That part lives forever. And if salvation can be gotten by the works of the flesh, then answer this. How do you, in your works, fight against that? Tell me. You can't. That's why Paul the Apostle said that by the works of the flesh and by the keeping of the law shall no one be justified before God. The law is holy, pure, and just. And it points to us, Galatians tells us, as the schoolmaster, the pedagogus in the Greek. Did you know that the ruler or the rich man in first century Christianity, the wealthy man, the man, Caesar himself, would hire a slave from some great part of the world who knew something about medicine, for example. That slave would be a slave, but he was paid because he knew stuff. Guess what? That slave was empowered to discipline young kids, the king's kids. If the king's kid stepped out of line, the slave pedagogus would discipline the master's children and make them learn. The word pedagogus is schoolmaster, and it means one who drives the truth into you. It's not a loving term. Are you listening to me? Some of you got all bent out of shape because you were not listening. You got a hold of me later in the week, and you said, I'm keeping these laws of the Ten Commandments, and I'm going to heaven too. And the Bible says, impossible. The Bible says, you break one of those Ten Commandments, you're guilty of them all. And before you think you got out of the bed doing good, Jesus made it very clear. If you think the thought of any of those, you're guilty. What was he? Was he trying to kill us? The exact opposite. He was trying to say, you can't make it by being good enough, and that's why I've come. I pay the price that you could never pay. And the Judaizers were saying, you can be born again, but keep the law. And Jesus, listen, I told you last week, the thief on the cross was saved by the very lips of Jesus Christ announcing it. So today, my son, today you'll be with me in paradise. If today you think you're going to bring one good thing, you see the pride begins to rise up. I am not that bad. I'm okay. And God should be happy to have me. Listen, we fall on our faces and say, Jesus, I am nothing without you. I can look. Look, I'm wearing a coat today. When's the last time you saw me in a coat? Either someone's getting married or dead. Look, don't I look nice today? And guess what? God is not impressed one iota. I was indebted to Pastor Chris, who reminded me this morning. He said, you know, isn't it beautiful? The Ark of the Covenant had the law of God in it. Perfect, holy, pure, made out of stone, emotionless, heartless, but perfect. But above the law and in between the glory of God was the mercy seat. And what was the mercy seat covered with? The blood of the Lamb. Do you have the Lamb of God in your life today? I rejoice that last week's message caused such a tornado in your heart. You know why? I would rather, in a holy way, offend you to get you to come to the full embracing of the sacrifice of Jesus than to come as a mixed multitude and offer up your good efforts to impress God with your righteousness, where the Bible says our righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Please be freed today in what you're hearing. And remember this, you cannot fight against that with any implement of good works or of the flesh. It's the power of God in you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics, a multi-part series taken from chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. It's one of a number of passages that speak of the spiritual warfare in which the true believer is indeed engaged every day. SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series by Pastor Jack is available on DVD. It's a four-disc set that goes by the same title, SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. And here's our offer. For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's four DVD series. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name, SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You could also call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, write to us and ask for it by name, SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics. Our mailing address is Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.